there are some things that when you get into, you leave the average person's places of abode. And as to the dimensional depths of these kind of things, there's also an ascending height as to first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, or there is a difference in the dimensional heights as to what you obtain unto. Like Paul said one time, I was up into the third heaven, saw the things that was not permitted for human beings to utter. It wasn't even given to them as to the utterance, which to me is a thrilling thing to know that God has saved something exciting for the church. And the Bible says that he hath hid these things from the eyes of the wise and the prudent, the learned, who's ever learning and never being able to reach this great knowledge. But he hath revealed it to us, and made it revelation unto babes such as will learn. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. With all of the study, the great men of knowledge like Einstein, never has it entered into the heart of mankind at any time the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. For the Bible said he has set it so far above their understanding that it is so high above their thinking, even as the heavens is the earth. But on the day of Pentecost, as the Bible says, and they spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. That which human beings cannot utter is still to be brought forth. God will give the utterance. As Brother Branham said one time, that he was in search of some of the deep mysteries of God, and he, while he was searching, he said that he saw the thunders as to what God told John to seal up, and said, all of a sudden, they, as were going to make themselves known unto him, but when they came forth, it was in a foreign tongue, a language he couldn't understand, which obviously meant that it was still sealed up. As it was said to John, seal up the book. As it was said to Daniel, we have a song that we wrote, seal up the book until the time of the end. And it was still sealed up when the utterance came forth. So great men can find a lot of things. We as people can find a lot of things. If we search and seek, if we hunger and thirst, God will give it to us. And the Bible said he would withhold no good thing from them that walk upright before him. But there are times and there are seasons that these things are hid. And in these times and seasons, God will not make them known unto you because he cannot. Even the things that Paul got, there's a good possibility that would have translated the church if Paul had gave forth the utterance. So as it was with John, it was sealed up. It is not said even that Paul received it. He saw the things, but like in a dream, sometimes you see things and then they're taken away from you. You can't remember them. Even in church preaching, the Bible said, give the more honest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. And to take heed how that you hear these things as to incorporate them within your life. Like Brother Branham, I've heard of Brother Branham being such a great, mighty man that people have went to him about their loved ones wanting to know whether they were in glory or whether they were had been lost. I know a lot of people feel that no one can know that, not even the ministry. But nevertheless, in spite of that, the record as to Paul's writing, it does give it where Paul said, and salute certain people of my brothers whose names are, as to brothers and sisters, whose names are written down in the Lamb's book. Obviously, he did know, and of course, going up to the third heaven, it makes you think he might have looked around and saw some of this thing. But nevertheless, Brother Branham, I understand, at times has went in search in the Spirit. I've heard this, read it somewhere, and he went in search in the Spirit and searching around, and he said concerning the individual spirit that it wasn't a safe place. So Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. You know, we should be spiritual. Sometimes God searches for our spirit. He comes as it was with Adam and Eve, and he says, Adam, where art thou? And he cannot find him. And sometimes we as preachers, are we as Christians? We go in search, even as a loved one. Perhaps we've had a loved one to pass on. And we go in search of his spirit, not perhaps as the brother did, but we find ourselves mourning over our lost loved one. And we're so moved about it until we can't find any rest day or night. Until eventually God gives us a vision or something happens and we find his spirit. And we find out that he's all right. So we're happy. I'd like to be spiritual. I'm sure you'd like to be spiritual. And I'd like to be spiritual. One of the great things that we talk about is faith. You understand that. And seems like we get along better along that line than anything else. Jesus always kept his teachings kind of on an average trend where he could reach the people. Even then, he said, things are being made known unto you that great men of old desired to see, and they never had an opportunity to do it. So as pertaining to the things I mentioned to Sister Betty, we got just a little bit deep, and I think maybe what happened was we left the human body when we got into those things to express what I wanted to express. I had to reveal things that left the human body, that went beyond the human body. And of course, when you go do that, people a lot of times are lost because in their minds, they have to have some kind of configuration as to image. And if they don't have anything, they don't have anything to found their thinking upon to retain their stability. And they get kind of shaky, whereas Betty doesn't get like that. She's spiritual, but they get kind of shaky, or everything gets kind of elusive to them, you know. Now here I have in the past, before you grew up a little bit, some of you have grown up pretty much now, but I have in the past got into some spiritual thing, and I'd find out I'd lose quite a number of you. And you'd look at me like I'd lost my mind. I'd pick up your spirit, you know, because you just completely got lost, and you didn't understand a thing that I was saying, and all of a sudden something hit you just like I'd lost my mind, and I'd pick your spirit up with them thoughts. Then I'd have to go way back down the trail and turn around here and pick up something that bring this up here and say, see, it looks like this. See, like this, like this. Oh, yes, that's what we was talking about right there. Let's give the Lord a hand. And after a while, I'd find my audience again. Well, that's why I say that sometimes it's hard to get spiritual things over to you, especially babes. The Lord, again, as I think of Brother Branham, reproved Brother Branham because Brother Branham was trying to do something, and he brought him a vision of him trying to lace a shoe and whatever, and said, you're trying to feed these things to Pentecostal babies. He said, they're just babes, you know. And, of course, they don't know what you're talking about. But we're getting close to the translation. As a matter of fact, you're closer to the translation than you could ever imagine. The translation isn't at all the way that the average person thinks. And when I say average person, I'm talking about average church person. People that's been taught religion all their life. But here the Lord has been good to us at Bethlehem, and he's opened our understanding, and many of you have your understanding open. And not only here at Bethlehem, but like the letter that we received from the brother out in California. He said that he was thankful to God that his little family was still together, that it was that he and his wife would have separated, that they'd have never made it. But he said, praise God, we've come into the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said, now our home is strong. See, that is to say, if you relate to each other on natural basis, anything can happen. Because that is Satan's thing, and he's got control of it. Its particles are dust of the earth, and he is the master and controller even of your body as to the first birth, as in Adam all die. But when you become spiritual and you're born again, your wife, she's spiritual, then you begin to communicate with each other on spiritual basis, and all of a sudden it's so different. It's so different. You relate to her and she relates to you, and you got a vision to be holy and godly, to get more of the Spirit. So has she. So this vision that God has given you keeps you in touch with God, and that causes you to stay in touch with one another. Whereas as to the flesh, your wife in the flesh and you in the flesh, whereas you're born of the Spirit, you're not in the flesh. But if you're in the flesh, having not been born again, then the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and the desire for monetary values, it draws, it allures, it entices. And your flesh, being subject to vanity, automatically is drawn to it. Thus it is drawn away from your companion, whether man or woman. And in this, you have a terrible, terrible problem. And many hundreds and thousands of homes are broken up because they did not let the Lord join them together as the Spirit. Well, I thought I'd say that before I read here. Let's read chapter 11. It looks like the Lord wants me to talk a little bit on faith. This goes out on the TV screen. And people that I talk to a lot of times out there are so little that they hardly know anything at all about God. Let me say this to you. Maybe I can't repeat this while I'm preaching, so let me say it to you before they get to taking this for TV. A lot of things I'd like to mention to you, I'd love to preach just to you. But Jesus said, feed my lambs. And we have a chance to feed some lambs. And I want to do it. But let me say this to you. We all want as great a reward as we can get. If I started passing out money tonight, and that Solomon said money answered through all things, and people are so carried away with monetary values, and I started passing out money, I'd say, now, I'm going to let you choose how much you would like to have. Whether you'd like to have $1,000, $10,000, or $1 million, or $1 billion, or just whatever you choose. There's a good possibility, other than somebody might think that they would say too much and not get any. There's a good possibility, if you clearly understood, you'd say, Brother Pike, just give me all you'll give me. You know, you wouldn't stop at a billion or a million or a thousand or anything else. You'd say, just give me all you'll give me. Well, see, that's kind of the way it is with Jesus. Let whosoever will freely come, partake of the waters of life freely. And I'm one of those that say, just give me all you will, Lord, all that you will. And I said that again to say this, to make a point here. And that is that we obtain a heavenly reward that will not pass away. Eternal treasures. And we have this eternal treasure as to heavenly treasures or eternal riches. We have this in our earthen vessel. And I can't break that down and talk to you about it, but we have it in our earthen vessel. Now, when you obtain your reward, you obtain your reward by the ability as to how comprehensive you are. So then that, as someone said, that blows my mind. How do I get my reward? Well, I don't have time to elaborate on it. Maybe one night I will. But you can take my word for it. These were some of the things I was talking to Sister Betty about, except we've gotten to wading a whole lot deeper. But you get your reward as to your ability to be comprehensive. And as to the heights of glory that you obtain, or as to the dimensional glory that you obtain unto, it has to be according to your power to conceive of the things of God as to divine conception of life according to the measure that has been released to you, which comes from your submission, willing submission, as to conformity, or to love Him with all of your heart, or to seek Him with all of your mind and strength. That is, again, Paul said, the eyes of your understanding being open, that you might be able to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. So then, according to your ability as to comprehend, this is where the secret of your reward and treasure is. Maybe some night we'll be able to talk to you about this, and then you'll understand that it's not through fasting, it's not through prayer, it's not through coming, it's not through giving. All of those things have to do with assuring your heart, building faith and confidence, but when it comes right down to the fine line, it's the power to comprehend. So try to apply yourself. And the Bible said, when you come into the house of God, give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. And take heed how that you hear them. Okay, let's read together. Chapter 11, Hebrews, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now let me just say this for your sake here. What is faith? This is the definition of faith. Faith, what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And I would say to Paul, I'd say, Paul, you're over my head. What are you talking about? You have the revelation. I want to understand, what are you saying? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then I would have God to unveil the mystery to me, and he would say to me, faith is such a powerful thing, such a sure thing, that if you have faith, whatever you desire in life, it doesn't matter what the substance is. Whether it is substance as to an automobile, substance as to the house, substance as to healing, substance as to anything that you want. Doesn't matter what it is. Money, power, whatever it is. If you have faith toward that thing, faith is the substance. That is to say, if you've got faith, it is so sure not to fail that you've automatically got the substance. It is the evidence of the thing which you cannot see. The thing that you want, which you don't see, having faith, that is the evidence that it is yours. That is the evidence. That's how powerful it is. Faith is that substance that you're hoping for, whether it's eternal life or whatever. And it is the evidence that there is such a thing as a God and a heaven, or of your possession of heavenly treasure. It's your evidence. If I went to court, I would take something and I would say to the judge, I'd say, Judge, this is the evidence. The man isn't here that done this wrong, the misdemeanor, or the person, you know, he killed somebody. This man isn't here. But I've got the evidence. Here's the gun he used. Here's the fingerprints. Here is the evidence that he's the murderer. And so they take the evidence and they say, he's the murderer. See, though he isn't there. And then they go to track him down to shoot him. See, faith is your evidence. It is so powerful. It's your evidence. Faith is your substance. Whatever you want, let faith arise in your heart. Jesus said that if in your heart you can believe and doubt not, that you'll have whatsoever you say. Because faith is your substance. Once you get it, you own it. I say, Brother Taylor, how much money do you need? He says, I need $10,000. I write him a check. I say, here you are. He'd say, well, what is this? I said, well, this is your money. Oh, no, he says, that's not money. I know money when I see money. That's not money. I'd say, but Brother Taylor, this is your substance right here. All you got to do is take it to the bank. You'll have it. This is it right here. See, now, that's what I mean. But even at that, again, we see Brother Taylor has to believe. He has to believe. Or if I owed him some money and he had confidence that I was going to pay him, that would be confidence called faith in what I was going to give to him. I had somebody say, well, you'll never get it out of Brother Pike. Oh, he said, oh, sure. Sure. So, well, how do you know? I believe it. I've been with him. I know he'll treat me right. He wouldn't do that. See, and Frank is so sure you couldn't persuade him of anything else. He's confident that he and our friend, that money will be there. It's that money is just as sure as his faith when it comes to dealing with God. So a lot of folks, it's not too sure, you know, you can be betrayed. But with God, he'll not alter the thing that's going out of his mouth. He'll not change it. He'll hasten to perform his word. His word is the same to 1,000 generations. All right, let me read on. I just wanted to break that down a little bit there for you that you might be encouraged in your faith. Don't cast away your faith. Why not, the writer said? Because it hath great recompense of reward. Great recompense of reward. It'll bring you the desires of your heart. All right, let's read again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were gone, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in desert and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Before I get into this, let me say something that might help here. Last night I had a number of night visions. Sometimes I'm praying and I go into a trance. Sometimes I just kind of fall over in a doze. Sometimes I have visions when I'm laying on my bed asleep. Daniel said I dreamed in the vision of my head trouble me. And sometimes I'm just on my knees praying and I have it. And of course last night was one of those times when I was just on my knees praying and I had a vision and I saw some things. And then on through the night and the morning, I had a number of other things that of visions and different ways and whatever. But I remember one of them that might be a warning to Brother Gary Armstrong in the pain is because I was talking to some of them by the side of the way, and there's a car came by, and when it came by, it seemed to be more workers. And Brother Gary turned and whistled at them, hollered at them, and when they stopped, they stopped right in the middle of a main thoroughfare, and the car was coming right down on them. And when that one stopped, it caused another one to stop just up front over to the right of them. And the one coming in the back swerved this way up kind of into a driveway and barely missed it. And it looked like it would have been a terrible, terrible calamity. But God might have undertook. So it might be good that you pray about it. That might be the way he'll undertake. We don't want no undertakers the other way. Anyway, it appeared that God saved him from a terrible, terrible thing. And there was a number of other things happened. I mentioned some of them to my wife. And I noticed also in one of them last night, there was a lot of lions around. Now this was, I believe, the night before, was it? But anyway, it was a lot of lions around in one of the visions. And they was trying to kill my children out. I saw them devour a little innocent animal, and it tore me up so bad that I said, I want my guns. And I thought I had two 45s, and I said, I want my gun. Somebody came up to me and gave me a gun to use, and I looked, and it was a little piece of junk. It was a little 22 piece of junk that you'd done good if you'd killed a kitten with it. Couldn't hardly keep the thing together. But anyway, they thought that would do the job, but nevertheless, I got my guns, and when I got my guns, the lions were gone. I couldn't find them after that. Which I know that we've had a lot of problems as of late. Lions in the street. There's a lion in the street. The man that's slothful, he'll put his hands in the bosom. He won't go out, you know, to work or anything else to take care of his family. There's a lion in the street. But when I got the guns, the lions, they disappeared. I had just heard about a tiger. You know, they have killer tigers. And I just heard about a killer tiger someplace. Sister Betty, she remembers the name, I'm sure. Where was it at, Betty? Samoa. Samoa Island. Samoa is a little island like going down toward Australia. We used to have a brother John that was here with us. He was a Samoa. But anyway, in this little island, this killer tiger had gone into a number of homes and had killed the people. Just went right into the home. And a tiger is a huge thing, you know. And he just went right in there and killed the individuals right in the different homes and ate them right there. And it just had terror striking into the hearts of different ones. Years ago, you know, they had problems with this in islands and foreign places like that where tigers were killers. They'd go through the village and the whole village would be torn up. But whether or not that affected me as to the vision I had, I don't know, but I do know one thing, that if you keep your guns handy, the tigers or the lions, whatever it was, they don't come around as much according to the vision. So you might think that, oh, well, there was a number of other visions. I heard a girl say, spoke to me and said, there's a secret death. And then she vanished away like that. And there were some other things that pertained unto death. Two or three things is in the visions that pertained unto death, so I know there's something around the corner And you need to pray. It could be me, it could be my loved ones, it could be you, it could be your loved ones. We don't need to get the idea, you know, because we are a deacon or a preacher or we've been in religion 20 years, 30 years, that God isn't, he's in a position where he isn't going to allow one of our loved ones to go. We have to remember that even Job, you pray for your children, you raise them up, your loved ones, your mother, your daddy, your wife, herself. But still at the same time, even though you do all those things, they have to do so much. When they get to the age of accountability and they know certain things, then it's required of them. And I've been fortunate. I've been able to protect my children all their lives. I've never lost one of them by faith. And all of them's grown up there, married or just about married, all of them. And they got companionship and families. And like I told him, I'm still praying and God's still helping him. He's still protecting him. I trust to God he will, and I know that he will because he's so loving and kind. And he promised he would. But he can only protect just so far as they will allow him to protect them when they come to the age of accountability. So it's like someone offering you money or someone offering you food or clothes. They cannot give it to you unless you will receive it. If they're offering you instruction, they cannot give it to you unless you receive it. So then God is the same way. He's trying. And we should pray that God would confront our loved ones in every possible way that they might be saved. Nothing would happen to them. And that should anything happen to them, as it was the case with Job's children, that they wouldn't die and be lost. So you pray and ask God to protect my children, protect your children and loved ones, and I'm doing the same thing for you. And when God shows these things, we really need to take heed to them. All right. So then we want to elaborate just a little bit on this, and I'll try not to keep you. I've already kept you a little longer than I intended to. But not having been with you in the last several services, considering the men's meeting, I need to talk with you just a little bit. Faith, speaking of faith, why do we place so much emphasis on faith? Because there is no justification by faith. It says here, as we read to you in Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith, it says here. So then we talk about faith, the power and significance of faith. So then when I talk about faith, I get enthused over it. I get activated by the Spirit a lot of times and I get beside myself. Because faith is the substance of the things that my heart desires. Faith is that substance. That is to say, my heart desires many things, even the welfare of my children. And faith is the substance of that which I desire. You know, when you speak of desire, Solomon spoke of desire. As I was talking with someone today about desire. Desire. Desire has to do with faith or hope. There's faith, there's hope, and there's charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. So then we see that faith that is so significant hath a root. There is something that it is rooted to, which relates to desire. Solomon said, when desire fails, when it fails, and we were speaking today of a man that wrote a song, Brother Vep Ellis, years ago. I spoke of it many times in the past. I have a desire. You have to have a desire to be inspired. You have to have a desire to move in any direction. If you don't have the desire, then you won't move in any direction. You'll just sit there. There has to be something of a root as to desire to cause you to move in a direction. And this, of course, comes from a nature. It is a nature. You have to have a certain kind of nature. For instance, I have a nature. My nature as a man comes from my father. I am partakers of his nature. You are partakers of the nature of your father. So then, being partakers of my natural father's nature, I, of course, have characteristics like my dad. My dad was a man that was quiet and peaceful. He didn't like to fight. He wasn't a rowdy man. And his nature was just calm and peaceful. Fine man. See, and I have a nature like that. You have a nature of your father. And there's some mother inbred in there as to the tutoring and the raising, as to instigating these things in the time of our youth, training up a child in the way that he should go. When it is old, it'll not depart from it. See, so we have kind of a mixture, but we do have a nature. This nature is molded, and we follow this nature. And this nature is what creates our desire. Like a lion, for instance. A lion has a nature. It's not like an elephant nature. Neither is an elephant nature like a crocodile nature. All of these have their own nature. And the conformity as to image, as to what they are, is the result of their nature. See, they conform to a configuration of image according to their nature. Like the nature of a lemon tree. There comes the configuration of a lemon in a certain form, and then there comes the bitterness of that lemon. As to an apple, it's altogether different. So then you see these animals are different in nature. This is what is different between you and I. I look at the people of the world. And when I look at these people, I say, God, I see no difference. Here is a rich man, here's the poor man, here's an educated man, here's another fellow that's uneducated. And I say, and this man is a sinner. And this man over here is a child of the devil. This is the bonds child, and this is the free child. And here they are, and I can't tell any difference in them. And then the Lord will say to me, the way to tell the difference, according to the yielding of the fruit, so is the nature of the tree. So then, whatever a child is, that's what he'll do. And the child is understood by his doings, because he does according to his nature. Whatever he does, that's what he is. It doesn't matter what someone tells you that they are. They say, I'm a child of God. Woman or man, I'm a child of God. But that doesn't take care of it. See, and they say, I go to church. This still doesn't take care of it. And they say, I give in the offering. That still doesn't take care of it. Even if they're a regular church attender and have been going for years, that still doesn't take care of it. It doesn't mean that they have eternal life. See, they have a nature. And you watch what they do as a habitual thing or with regularity. And you'll find out exactly what kind of person they are, who they belong to. Like Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. Said, you're a child of the devil. That's why you oppose me. That's why you hinder me. That's why you cause me the problems you do. He said, you are of your father the devil. Said he was a liar from the beginning and abode not in the truth. And said his work you'll do. His evil deeds you'll do. So then when a person trying to convince you that they are a Christian or that they are a believer, don't pay any attention to that. Don't know anybody after the flesh as to the way that they present themselves. The devil humbleth himself. Don't do that. Watch their characteristics. Know them after the Spirit and see what is emanating from within them. And after a while, you'll find out just exactly what they are. They may be religious, but they may be a religious hypocrite. See, so you watch them. You watch what they do. And after a while, a child being known by his doings according to the Scripture, you'll discern and you can tell exactly by the Word what kind of person you're dealing with, how that you should deal with them, and whether you should watch them carefully or not. See, the nature, that is the difference between a child of God and a child of the world. My nature as a child of God is to love the Lord Jesus Christ. My nature is to pray. My nature is to believe in holy things. To believe in His Word. It is my nature to want to go preach the gospel to all the world, to help the widows and the orphans and those that are in need. That is my nature. It is my nature to want to be holy and godly and pure. It is my nature to want to communicate with people about Jesus, whether I'm telling a sinner about the Lord or whether we are coming together as a brother and sister to communicate about God. It is my nature to want to convert a conversation from the natural, tangible side of monetary life, of monetary values, over to a godly, holy, spiritual side of life. It is my nature to want to be clean and upright in my heart and mind. I just had a little occasion, something that took place on this trip. The management here where we have our jet stored, I had a little confrontation with him. I said a few things, and I knew when I picked up the man's spirit that he was the wrong kind of fellow, he and his wife. I'm not going to call the man's name, save the embarrassment as to him or whatever, if he should hear this. But nevertheless, I knew that the man wasn't right. So I watched him the first day, come back, the next day I believe it was. We had a little talk, a little confrontation. He was very religious when he found out I was religious. But I said a few little things and I could tell that it didn't go the way that he wanted it to go. So in that, he kind of balled up a little on the inside, act like there wasn't anything wrong at all. I came back a little later. He was supposed to do something for me and contacting a pilot. And I asked him, I said, have you touched base with the pilot? Oh, yes, everything's okay. I said, well, I better tell you where we're staying. I said, because we don't have a place at this time. We've yielded up our room and we have give up the rented car. Oh, he said, I can find you. No problem. And there was a woman standing over here, maybe one or two, I don't know. And over here there's a man or two. And whatever it was right out in public, right in the front of the offices. And he said, I can find you. I said, well, that's fine. Oh, he said, I can find you. He said, I'll find you here or there. I said, down at the bar. I said, this is ladies' night. And I looked at him as if to spit in his face. And I said, I'm not one of them kind. And it just about tore him to pieces when I boldly looked at him and I said, you won't find me there because I'm not one of them kind. I said, I believe in holiness and godliness and righteousness. And when I told him that, it tore him up so bad he didn't know what to do, folks. It tore him up. He wanted to number me with people that do those kind of things in the ministry or whatever. But I'll guarantee you, before he opened his mouth, he'll get things in gear next time before he says that to a preacher. So I thank God that we can have the right kind of nature. I know that many of you have the right kind of nature. I was talking to some of them at men's meeting last night. And though I have some babes here that stumble and stagger, they still have the right kind of nature. And they need strength. And they need help. And I know that some of you have the right kind of nature. And that down at the end of the way that you're going to fully have developed that nature for the wonderful things of God. And it is necessary to have that nature. Because according to that nature will be your desire. Let's go back to the lion. That lion nature will cause that lion to want that fresh meat and that kill in the morning. It's not the male that does the killing, it's the female. She goes out and she provides the breakfast just like a woman would for her husband, you know. She goes out, she kills and it's fresh and then she beckons to him and they sit down to breakfast. But the nature is that fresh meat and that kill. See, another animal may not be like that. Like a cow. A cow's got a nature just to eat grass, chew the cud. And they're contented with that. See, so the desire to kill and the desire to have this blood and this fresh meat. Or as it is with the cow's desire to eat the grass, chew the cud, that comes from a nature. See, there's a nature of a cow, there's a nature of the lion. The same way with you and I. Those men that done those evil, hideous, horrible things as against God and God's way of life, so cruel were they to mistreat God and Christ, knowing the things that they knew. See, if they had not known these things, it would not have been
so cruel if they had not been overshadowed with the blessings of God and the precious Holy Spirit right there with them. See, it would not have been so offensive to God, because God said, I would that you were hot or cold. You know, out there, that's your nature. But when you come to God and this wonderful thing has been revealed to you, and the Bible said to come to the knowledge of the truth, and then you turn and you go back to the lapping of the vomit, as the dog to the lapping of the vomit, and the sow after that she has been washed, that is grace from above to take away the sins of all the world. After that she's been washed, she goes back to her wallowing in the mire. See, it's the nature. It's the nature of a dog to lap vomit. And you're not going to convince him that that isn't the right thing to do. It's the nature of a pig to wallow in the mire. And you're not going to be able to convince the swine that that isn't a good thing to do. That swine, I remember so well as a little boy out in the country, the big mud hole that the pigs had. That was heaven to them. That was a heaven on earth. You know, they would get into that thing and they would waller and bubble in the slop and get caked with the mud. And to them, that was the number one thing. And they would just grunt and smell. And that's the way it is with people in the world. Jesus said they're swine. They waller in the mire of this world. They waller in these things. They lap the vomit. And they laugh and they talk and they have their good times. They spend millions of dollars. They have everything. Why? The rain comes on the just and the unjust. God has not cut them off from anything. Because the blood is on the seat of atonement, they can believe. And because they can believe, they have things. They have things. They believe that if they maneuver things right, work regular, have a good income, or set up a good business, whether they manipulate, cheat, or whatever, that they can make that thing pay off and they can have what they want, and they do that. And by that means, Satan controls the entire world. Not faith, it's just mere believing. But because the blood is on the seat of atonement, it will work. And people believe that if they build a church, they put somebody in college, let him learn about the Bible, and they get things just right as to society and coming together and fellowship, that they can have a congregation. They can take money. They can do all kinds of things. And they can have a church. They can be religious. They can have the blessings of God, just like you and I believe it. And they do, because the blood is on the seat of atonement and the blood takes away the sins of all the world. So at this point, you can't tell the difference. So close, it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. But the very elect knows better than that. Sometimes they might cause a babe in Christ to stumble, and many times they do. Because the babe has to be watched after by parents. But so far as the person that is rooted, grounded in the truth, filled with the Spirit, they can't deceive that person. They might baffle them for a few moments, but after a while everything will clear up. You know, we go through all kinds of experiences in this world. And when you go through some of these hideous experiences, it tires you up. And a lot of people lose their way, and sometimes they even wreck up. But it was like I was telling David, Paul. See, it's like a pilot flying. He's up here and all of a sudden there's a cloud he goes into. Or he goes to land and it's so foggy. Low ceilings, real dangerous in flying. Unless you're instrumentally rated. If you have your instrument rating, you're all right. Like I was coming back from Florida in our little plane not too long ago. The man in it was not instrument rating. So he began to panic as we got into a cloud. The lightning, the thundering, whatever. Now, if he had had his instrument rating, when he went through there, he wouldn't have done that. Because they teach you to fly by putting something over your eyes. Or it's like a hood or something. And you cannot see around you. All you can see is the instruments. And you learn to take off by it. You learn to maneuver by it. You don't look out and see anything. You don't have any markers of any kind. You just go strictly by the instruments. See, and when you do that, if you really know your instruments, and if the plane is right, things are accurate, you don't have anything to worry about. because you go right on through the cloud just as if you was looking around seeing everything. So you don't panic. See, and folks, a lot of us are not instrument rated. We need to go on in our experience with God. All these are types and shadows of what God's doing. We need to go on with God. We need not just play around. You know, there's a lot of people can fly a plane. You can go get a pilot's license to fly a plane, but you still don't have instrument rating or maybe multiple rating as to twin engines or more engines. See, and we need to move along a little bit with God. Go on to perfection. We need to stop standing around the edge, as we say. Launch out into the deep. And we need to get us an instrument rating that when we run into these spirits, these clouds, these overshadowing, like the people that was waiting for the coming of Jesus, this angel as a great light came upon them. And angels, either good or bad, light or darkness, see, whatever it is, it overshadows you. You find yourself in that, like in a fog when you're driving, and you can't see. But if your instrument be rated in God, you just pass right on through, and you don't panic. And the others that would panic, that's with you, then they'll follow you right on through because they say, man, this man knows where he's going. Like Brother Taylor says, and he knows the way through the wilderness, and all we have to do is follow. See, so it makes a lot of difference when you're up there in the plane. We need to perfect our life. We need to go on to perfection. In this, we become a different person. And our nature and our desire is great and mighty in God. And our ability to take people to safety all the way. We have this great, wonderful Christ ability in our lives to take care of them that follow us. See, I've got a congregation. I get into this. If I get into the powers of the devil as to him trying to fog out my mind, I just go right straight on through by faith in God because of the instrument rating. You understand what I'm saying? But people in the world out there, they can't do that. They look like they're going real good, like a man he goes up in his jet. He's carrying a load. And it looks like he's doing real good, but all of a sudden he finds out he's not the pilot. As with this airline, that's with that airline, and he hasn't had the experience. And all of a sudden he also finds the company that he's working for doesn't build the airship as to stability and as to dependability that the other one built. And everything blows up. The engines catch on fire or the crash. Something happens because either the pilot or the plane is not sufficient as to the cost. See, and out there, that's got to go down. But folks, this airline will keep on going. Let's give the Lord a hand. It'll keep on going. It's like the old ship of Zion. She'll never go down. She'll never go down. You remember in school the little story about old Ironside. They called the ship Ironside. And these people were knocking out ships, but when old Ironside come up, they boomed and beat on it, you know, and they couldn't penetrate it. And when they thought they had it just about ready to take it over, they cried out as to the captain to surrender. He said, why, we've just begun to fight. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. And they couldn't put old Ironside down. That's the way it is with God. When the devil thinks he's got you, and the Bible said you've done everything to stand and it looks like you can't stand. Just breathe a deep breath in Christ and say, God is my sufficiency. Hallelujah. I've just begun to fight. Go right on and plow through that thing because there's the victory for you. God's got it for you and he wants you to be tried as Daniel, as the Hebrew children, that you may get a promotion. You know, you never get your promotion until you exercise your faith in God. And when you exercise your faith in God, then you get a promotion. You go from this dimension or this place of strength to a greater place. See, because you have proven yourself to God. So these things come upon us that we might be tested of our faith, that we might not cast away our faith, but to strengthen our faith. Do the thing that strengthens our faith by doing the things that please God. Don't go out and wallow with the swine after God has cleaned you up don't do that. I know sometimes, you know, as I said, when I was a little fella, back had to feed the hogs, and I'd go out with my good clothes on, and that big old fat hog would shake, and that stuff would sprinkle all over me, and I'd get so mad I'd want to beat him on the head with the bucket. You know, because that was my good clothes, and little country boys didn't have too many good clothes. And I'd really get upset. But nevertheless, he's a pig. He didn't know nothing, you know, but to shake it off. And I got in his way. So I said that to say this, don't get in his way. You know he's a swine to start with. You know he's muddy and dirty, and you know he's smelly. Don't get out there. And the Bible said, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? See, don't get out there where he's at. Don't mess with him. Stay away from his territory. He said, well, now, where is his territory? Within the hog pen. Let's give the Lord another. Going to give the Lord another hand. See, it's the pig pen. Don't go out, and pardon my expression, because this is not with arrogancy nor with ugliness. It's just what the Lord said. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. Pardon me when I say this, but the world in general is a pig pen. Don't get out there in the pig pen with people that are going to do those things around the bars and around the different things of this world. Don't get out there with them. Go to a good place. Go to a holy place. You know, I can remember things in the past where maybe you're like some in the army. What are those off limits over here? You wasn't to go down there. If you did, you got your head beat in. I remember men returning with their heads beat in because they got off limits. And folks, you never get in problems until you get off limits. God has got a holy place. Like the Bible said, Moses, this place is holy. Pull off your shoes. So then he's got some holy places. Little Bethlehem is a holy place, a godly place. And we try to keep things away from here that would defile it. Keep your body holy. Keep your mind holy. Have holy eyes, not to lust. Have a real conscience toward God. Striving always, as Paul said, to keep my conscience void of offense toward man and God. That your faith might be great in God, assuring your heart. Over and over, having a good, clear conscience. To where you can boldly tell somebody, you know, we don't have any part with that. We don't have any part with that. All right, so we see the great, wonderful things of God is in the blessing of God if we have faith. And we see that the only way that we can have faith is to assure our heart. Do thy diligence to keep thine heart, for out of it come forth the issues of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So then we're speaking tonight of this substance, faith, of this evidence, which is faith, that which the elders obtained a good report by, believing God. All of them in the Old Testament died in the faith, not having received the promise, but died in the faith. We've elaborated on that before, and sometimes we will again. So then these died in the faith. It pleased God. For without faith it's impossible to please God. Enoch believed so strong. He did the things that pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. And this assured his heart. It assured his conscience. And it caused him to have confidence that was called faith. And by that faith came the great, wonderful infilling of the Spirit. The activation of God that hit his spirit or met his spirit and translated his spirit into a oneness with Almighty God. And thus his spirit and God's spirit became one to the extent that he believed, and the Bible said he was not, for God took him. And I, saying something to God in my past life, I said, Lord, I wished you would do me like Enoch. I wished you would just translate me. And he spoke back to me and he said, I did. For the Bible said God hath, as to the believer, as to the true Christian, the one that really believes. The Bible said, and God hath translated us, speaking of our spiritual inner being, into the marvelous kingdom of God, which means my spirit has become interwoven with Christ's spirit. And now it is not I that liveth, but Christ that lives. And I'm dead with the body of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said that I should reckon myself to be dead indeed to the world and to sin by the body of the Lord Jesus. And Paul said, then it's not me living, but Christ. And I'm bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, as to seeing me at the end of the way to the Thessalonians change. So then he did translate me as the inner man into the marvelous kingdom of God. Whereas to Enoch, he translated him as the outer man. See, but with me, he translated me as the inner man. Now he'd done a work in Enoch's heart Whereas Enoch actually went into the wonderful glories of God. Moses, Elijah, he did something for them. But folks, we're living in the hour of the church, the change, the great wonderfulness of God, of being born to the Spirit on the inside and becoming one with God and His glory in the inner man. And we're living in that great moment when we can enter right into the glory of God. I don't have time to elaborate on that, and I'm sure that perhaps you wouldn't have time to listen tonight. Some of you probably have a lot to do. I'm taking a little longer, but I want to say a few more words. I'll probably have to clip what I'm saying now to go on with the message to them that are listening out yonder. But nevertheless, God has given us a great thing. And that is, we are partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. And because of this nature, it has given us a desire for holy, godly things that produces eternal life and eternal securities within our life, within our spirit, within our heart. He hath given us this, and we are partakers of this divine nature. And because of that, our desire is toward God. Folks, you're not going to do anything holy and godly unless you have a desire. You'll never do it, no matter how much effort you put forth. As a matter of fact, most likely that you won't put forth any effort if you don't have a desire. A lot of times you put forth an effort towards something as a person that's not religious, they become religious. But that's because they are a reflector. They are a reflector of another man's desire. See, a lot of times when Brother Pike isn't here at Bethlehem, you're going through a testing time as to see what your desire is. To find out if your desire is to go to the house of God. A lot of times when I take a little more time than I ordinarily would, or the services are a little lengthy, God is testing your desire to see if you really have a desire for God, or if your desire is for the flesh, your desire is to go eat, your desire is to buy and sell. You know, He puts you to the test as to see what you enjoy. Whatever you enjoy, that's your joy, that's your jubilance, that's your rest, that's the thing you want to do, because that is your desire. See, and you may reflect somebody else's desire, but when that individual isn't present, then you don't have that desire. And you go back to your wallowing in the mire. You go back to the vomit, the lapping of the vomit. You go back to the things that entertain you and the things that allure you and the things that entice you. You go back to those things because you don't have that desire. Did you know that's why Eve sinned against God? She did not have the desire in her heart for God. She did not have the desire in her heart to be holy. She did not have the desire within her to do the right things. She didn't have that desire because she had never been exposed to right or wrong as to what is good or what is bad. All she knew was that she was made to be in that garden and to do whatever come naturally. And just as soon as something from a tyrant of that thing, a spiritual tyrant, presented something to her that was off base, as we say, with what God had her do day by day, she immediately took that into her life and went out just like that. Because it created a desire. The Bible said through this conversation, the beast, or Satan within the beast, enticed her and began to tell her things about the tree of knowledge, and it became a luscious thing to her. And the Bible said we are first enticed by the things that we see, and then we're drawn away by that enticement. And the Bible said when we are drawn away, then there comes lust. We conceive of lust. And when lust comes into us, there is then a birth that is waiting. And the Bible said when lust is in us, it begins to move. And the next thing, there is sin. Unbelief. Doing what we should not. A day thou eatest thereof. And then when sin is finished, the Bible said it brings forth death. And of course, this is where Sister Betty and I had the discussion the other day when I got beyond this, with a determination to make her know concerning death and the end of death and how powerless death is as to where the child of God is today concerning the death. That was, of course, when she got lost. But there's just a little time yet, and you'll know, you'll understand. So we find that we have the nature of the Lord Jesus. We've been born again of our Father, so we have His nature. And the mother that loves and cuddles us as the church is also adding to our nature to protect it, to make it strong as we grow up in the likeness of our Heavenly Father. Because her desire is to her husband. And we're the precious children of that wonderful place called heaven. Even New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. So as we enter into the beautiful secret chambers of God and the veil of intellectual reasoning as to death is gone, then so comes the mind of Christ, which is the mind of life. And proportionally as we're able to conceive of it, God brings it. And as our ability to comprehend, then God rewards us according to His own doings, His own works, these things given to us in Christ before the world was and brought to light at Calvary. So then we've got to have this faith, so that we can have the reward. It's our substance. And we've got to have the desire to be prompted toward the things that we need to do. And we've got to have the divine nature of the Lord Jesus for us to have this desire. And for us to have that divine nature, we've got to be born again. Jesus said, "Lest a man be born again, he shall never see the kingdom of God." I see the kingdom of God. I see always the things that my Heavenly Father does. Jesus said to those that He spoke to in the New Testament there, "You've never seen Him at any time. But we have eyes of understanding that are enlightened, and we see." We're able to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this greatness of our Heavenly Father. So then we see through eyes of understanding God and this that is hid. The Bible said if it be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. Whom the God of this world, even Satan, Lucifer, the spirit of this world, having blinded their eyes that they cannot see, spiritually speaking, through eyes of understanding, comprehend, they cannot see when good cometh. So then I tell you again that we need to believe. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, that is to say, He purifies our heart with faith. You draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. You didn't seek Him. He said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came, He put the blood on the mercy seat. He sent the preacher to woo you in His spirit to come to listen to God in God's house. And the Bible says, they shall all be taught of God, and judgment shall begin in the house of God. And here we are. Paul said, not as Lord over God's heritage, but rather as helpers of your faith. For this we desire, even the perfecting of your faith. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have heavenly treasure in earthen vessels? Whereas it is so wonderful to people if they can get things rather than life. But I'd rather have life, because life does not consist of the abundance of things that you possess, even though Satan takes advantage and he leads you to believe because of the thrills and activations of life through lust as to the wrong spirit that you are really doing something, that you really have life. Folks, let me tell you, when cancer strikes through your lung, when the rottenness of the belly is there, when insanity strikes the mind, or when problems start happening to you, loss of loved ones or whatever that can happen to any of us anytime, and will, unless we really pray and our loved ones really get down to business and take the warnings. When these things begin to happen to you, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. He's a consolation to you and I in the time of bereavement or problems. See, but when those things begin to happen as to sorrow, your strength is gone. Your desire is gone. You don't enjoy your boats. You don't enjoy your money. You don't enjoy anything. Not anything do you enjoy. And you find out that it has been a lying vanity. And like it was said of Hugo, you went down a trail of tears. That's bad, folks. Let's serve the Lord. Let's live for God. Whether we have our loved ones with us, whether we lose our loved ones, whether we have things or don't have things, let's don't place our affection on the things that we have in this world. Though a wise man's substance is precious to him, God gives him everything that pertains unto life, makes him rich, and adds no sorrow. But he tells him not to place his affection on things in this world, where thieves break through and steal, and where moth doth corrupt, for wherever a man's treasures are, there his heart will be also. Don't make that your treasure. You have heavenly treasure in your earthen vessel. And set your affection on things above. Thieves don't break through and steal. Their rust doesn't corrupt. Set your affection on things above. Keep your mind off of your automobile, off of your home, off of the land, off of your face, off of worldly attires. And keep your mind on God. Keep your faith in God. And keep looking to Christ. So that's your treasure. And that is a lasting, a heavenly, everlasting treasure with eternal securities. Keep your mind on Jesus, as the songwriter said, and he will calm the troubled waters of your soul. You do that, you'll grow big, big, big in God, and you won't be allured by Lucifer into the web of confusion, into a complex situation as to death and as to sickness, as to lying vanities, strong delusions, as to what you believe is life. Lean to your own understanding. Every man's ways is right in his own eyes. But look to God, and he'll give you the understanding of the Lord Jesus. And as the Bible said, Father, lead us not into temptation. He'll lead you in a straight path. He'll lead you into green pastures. He'll make you lay down beside still waters. He'll restore your soul. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, if you'll delight yourself in him. To be like a tree that's planted by the water, bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves will not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. All right, let's sing a little bit together. Can we? Appreciate you coming out to be with us. Said a few things that I feel will be helpful to some of the people out there that's listening, and also to you. To you. There's some here that they're still growing in the knowledge and grace of God, and it'll be very helpful to them. So let's worship the Lord together for just a few minutes. Press on, it won't be very long until we reach the land of song. For in heaven some sweet day I am going there to stay. Press on, it won't be very long. Can you sing it with me? Press very long, not long, until we reach the land of song. Far in heaven, some sweet day, I am going there to stay. Press on, or it won't be very long. Let's sing and love him. Can you sing and love him? I love him. Sing it with me. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's cross. Let's sing another chorus or two, can we, Dale? Oh, there's room at the cross. The altars are open for you. Oh, there's room
And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. And we're going home at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till the evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call, said of son. Can you sing that with me? Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. Sing it again. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time, and we're going home at last. We read of a place called heaven, and it's made for the happy and free. These truths in God's word he hath given. How beautiful heaven must be. Sing that with me. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair heaven is a place for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sing that with me. It's the home of the happy and free. We read of that place they call heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. how good it is to be a Christian. Not to wallow in the mire that's out of the world, but like a little child playing in the water on a hot day, just get out and splatter around, as we say, in the water on a hot day. Watch the thrill of his heart. You and I, just to get into the waters of life, into the river of life, my, and feel that love and refreshing from that blistering light of heat called lust. And we find everything is sweet and lovely, and we feel so clean and free and so relaxed, and we're not burned in our lust and passions one toward another, or as to the lust of the flesh and the things of the world. But we have such a good time in the Lord. Grow strong. Grow so strong. How wonderful it is. You love the Lord? All right, let's sing together. You know the kisses. It's not my brother, not my sister, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my mother, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. For it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. For it's me, and it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my preacher nor the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. For it's me, me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the sun refuses to shine, when the sun refuses to shine. Oh Lord, I'd like to be in that number when the sun refuses to shine. For when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I'd like to be in God's number when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I'd like to be in your number when the saints go marching. Oh, when the moon turns into blood. Oh, when the moon turns into blood. Oh, Lord, I'd like to be in your number when the moon turns into blood. Sing it with me now. For when the saints go marching in, Oh, when the saints grow marching, dear Lord, I'd like to be in that number. When the saints grow marching, can you give him another hand? Just worshiping the Lord a little bit in song tonight. Let's lift our hands up together. Close our eyes. We come here, we close our eyes, we lift our hands up, we release our spirit. We take a trip with God. We go on a trip with God. A beautiful trip with God. My, how thrilled we are. You know, in the world, they take dope, all kinds of things to take what they call a trip. But I thank God that with this glorious, wonderful blessing that Jesus has given us, that we just get in the Spirit and the Lord takes us high into the heavens. High into the heavens. You know, they call it getting high out there. But He just takes us high into the heavens. And when they get high after taking a trip, or a while taking a trip, they have to have a little rock and roll. But as the song said, I'm glad that we're on the rock and my name is on the roll, and everything is just right with me, and we don't have to mess around with the beggarly elements of the world, or get out there, whether we're in our youthful age or whether we're in another age, we don't have to worry about it. Because there's no aging with life. Life never ages. This is another thing that we was discussing with Sister Betty when it was a little difficult to get across what we were saying. But life can never grow old. Life can never die. So wonderful to know that we have life. Do you have life? Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Life. I come that you might have life, and that more abundantly, filled up and overflowing. And that is to say, abundantly, extensively speaking, life without end. Eternally and abundantly. That is everlasting and overflowing. Jesus came that you might have this wonderful life. And tonight we have it. Being children of the resurrection, having passed from death unto life, we have this wonderful heavenly treasure. In our earthen vessels and from out of our innermost beings comes the rivers of living water. For with joy you will draw water out of the wells of salvation. We sing that song, Jesus gave her water. It wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water. And she went forth to tell. And she went away singing and she came back bringing others to the water that was not of the well. So the deep calling unto the deep at the water spout of God, whose water spout you are, as to the innermost being, that water, that well of water, and that Spirit of God that is so deep, launching out into the deep, out to where God is, into the deep hidden mysteries of God, out in the world of God, our spirit going out there where it is an angelic world of spirit, and fellowshipping the angels, even as John did when he was on the Isle of Patmos, and even as Paul did, and others, the angels of the Lord encamping round about them that love Him, that watch over Him. Every person has their guardian angel that watches over them. And they can fellowship Him, and He will fellowship the individual. But you may not see Him unless you get your eyes open real good. He will be coming and gone, and you'll not see Him. How wonderful it is to be a Christian. There's nothing so exciting as the adventure of being a Christian. I've never found anything to compare with it in all the world. I've never found anything to compare with it. It's something that you don't have to put on. You don't have to make believe. It is just a feeling of ecstasy. Your cup runs over. You get the desires of your heart. Everything is so wonderful. And being a Christian. And it's all because of Jesus. That's why we sang this little chorus that we're going to sing together. It's all because of Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus. I will praise Him. Can you sing that with me? While you've got your eyes closed, your hands lifted up. I will praise Him Praise the Lord for sinners slain, and give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away every stain. Every stain. And Messiah came and made an end of sin, and He washed away. Isn't that similar blood? The blood that was given at Calvary has washed away every stain. And tonight, though your sins has been as crimson, God has made you as white as snow. I speak about Snow White. Mirror, mirror on the wall. The Bible said as we look into the mirror, as to the laws of liberty, and we say mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? The answer comes back. God, Snow White, I've washed her whiter than the snow. The old bewitching thing, as Paul said, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Christ evidently was set forth and died. The old bewitching spirit of the world, Saul turned to the bewitching spirit. The old bewitching spirit of the world, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? The old bewitching spirit with the powder and the paint and the frolics, with the diamond, the gold, and the silver, and all of the outstanding things of the world. So many years has looked into the mirrors of life and said, mirror, mirror, who is the fairest? And it's always answered back, the movie star with the powder and the paint, the woman who wears her frocks according to the designers of the world, and the fashions have overrode the religious convictions of many believers. And because sin doth abound, the love of many is waxed cold, and they've turned to the world, and the love of the world is in them. And the Bible said, if the love of the world is in you, that's the spirit of the world, and the love of God isn't there, because we're born of the spirit of God, and the spirit of the world has nothing to do with us. So then he went, as I look at the world, I find that the world is fast fading away, and her old bewitching appearance is beginning to be seen. She might have looked like a beautiful young lady as to life when God gave it to her, but now she's just a barfly. She's just an old tramp. that tries to hide the wrinkles and the ugliness of her deteriorating innermost being, trying to hide it behind the makeup of the world with the pretty things of the world. But it shows her sorrow, her heartaches, her miseries. They show because the judgment is upon her. And when she looks into the mirror, she's not hallowed with beautiful things as she one time was, in that God's blood on the seat of atonement brought the grace upon the just and the unjust. The mercies are beginning to lift because she knows better. She continues in sin. There's no more sacrifice for her wrong. So then her halo is being taken away. And as the Lord said to Israel on one occasion, said, "You played the harlot under every green tree." You knew better. But you played the harlot under every green tree. I gave you beautiful things. I gave you diamonds and gold and silver and clothing. Said, but you still played the harlot. Having opened thyself, the Bible said, to every trashy thing that come along. Making your ears a garbage can. But he said, now, I'm giving you a writing of divorcement. He said, you go to your lovers and see if they'll give you all the lovely things I gave you. Folks, God has not left us without witnesses, Samuel said. He has given us the rain from above. He has given us the crops of fruits. As the writer said, beautiful fruited plains. Majesty, a majesty to be observed. He's given us the beautiful waters of the sea, the species of the sea, the birds to sing. He's given us a springtime to cheer us. He's given us life in abundance. He's kept us from many heartaches and sorrows. But many of you played the harlot, and he's giving you a writing of divorcement. Now go your way. To those that deceived you and lied to you, and those that you frolicked with, and see if Satan is able to give you the things that he said he could. He said to Jesus, I'll give you all of these things. It's delivered into my hand. And so it was, as to Snow White and the mirror, mirror on the wall. But the time is over, and the judgment of all people has come. And now we'll see if Satan owns these things. For the Bible said the world and the fullness thereof belongs to God, and Satan is a thief and a robber. He cannot create anything. He only interweaves himself like a water that's being absorbed by the sponge. Goes in and takes advantage of your weakness of spirit, your immaturity as to development, and uses your body as a parasite way. Uses your life. For times and seasons of life. And he uses things that God has, and through the man, he has taken over all things, because all things belong to the man, and the man belong to God. And he's taken over all things through the man. And that's why God had to smite Jesus as the fallen man at Calvary and bring another one up. One delivered for offenses, and the other brought up as to you, being bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That as to justification, raised for your justification. But he lives in the human being today. He comes in to hear the preacher. He comes to church. But as we say, mirror, mirror on the wall, as to the mirror of life, who's the fairest of them all? And it's not the religious episodes of life as to the hypocrite or the rich, but it's the simple that believe in God, that have given themselves to God, counted all things as lost, like the little story of Cinderella, the girl with the dishpan hands. The little church on the other side of the tracks, as has been said, people who are simple, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and the rich, they've had their consolation. The land of Esau, God turned it their way because he knew they'd be in poverty forever after this life. And you've experienced poverty to build your faith, to be great in faith and rich in faith, that you might be eternally wealthy throughout eternity as to the eternal substance and eternal securities. So then, knowing this, tonight we stand here as the children of the resurrection. So let's just lift our hands and close our eyes and thank God for this. We will praise Him. We will praise Him. We'll praise the Lord for sin is slain. Give Him glory, all ye people. Let's call on Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless Tony to come up if you will, and while Tony's coming to pray, I always remind you so often the Bible said, search your heart, see if that you're in the faith, see if you're in the faith as to the heart, for it is the heart that hath faith. And make sure tonight that your heart is right with God, because it's desperately wicked. No one can know it. Only God can change it. The preparation of man's heart is from God, whether it be good or bad. Ask God not to deliver you into temptation, but ask God to prepare your heart unto righteousness and unto faith, and let Him purify your heart so that He can dwell in it and you can have eternal life and you can be sealed inwardly from the storms of life. While Tony comes to pray, search your heart now. See if it's real faith. If you're serving God with your heart, if it's real faith, don't just be a believer. Demons believe. But see if you've got heartfelt conviction as to salvation. Faith by the hearing of the word, that you believe what God has told you and that you're trying to conform in your way of life to holiness and godliness and righteousness and peace and meekness and long-suffering and gentleness and patience, and that you are evasive to gossip and backbiting and hatred. I just got word just recently that here on the campground, there's one of the sisters that she has people visiting in her trailer with a regularity, and that it's becoming a gossip center. I've had them to do that before, and I've had to personally go to them or say something to the husband or whatever. They're talking about different ones, even some of our leaders here, and they're boycotting in their mind to say the things that they want to say. And where there's confusion, there's every evil work. It'll be worse and worse if they are doing that and if they keep doing it. See, it's better that a lot of times people don't visit too much with one person at their house too much, because in the multitude of words there won't, if not sin. As a matter of fact, I found out that one of the son-in-laws has made the statement that he's wore out with his wife being in the midst of that, and that he's about to stop her from her visitations, even with her folks, that he's upset over it, and others are hurt. And they've said some strong things concerning it. So let me advise you not to be one of them. Don't be one of them. Be one that belongs to God. Stop that thing. Because that's Satan. And there's every evil work there to hinder the work of God and to hinder me. And God said, if you trouble the ministry or the body of Christ, then I will trouble you. So sanctify your lips, sanctify your tongue. The Bible said if any man or woman seem to be religious among you and they bridle not their tongue, this individual's religion is in vain. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to keep your body under subjection, He said, to visit the widows and orphans in their afflictions. Keep yourselves unspotted from the world as to those satanic things. All right, as our brother comes to pray, I appreciate your patience tonight. Let's get in and do something for God. Let's make this our lifestyle. Beginning this night, let's renew our covenant again. God is beginning to furbish and refurbish again to see what you're going to do in the way of winning souls as this last fleeting moment. Get away from the world now and everything, and get in here and once and for all belong to the Lord. May the Lord bless you as Tony comes.